You're listening to Loyalty Discussions with White Label Loyalty, a podcast all about customer loyalty, retention, and rewards. We're interviewing experts across different industries so you can learn how to create a loyalty strategy that grows your business. In this conversation, I sit down with James McKenzie, a data expert who's consulted big businesses on how to get their data strategy right. James breaks down the biggest problems that most businesses face today. The first step to getting your data strategy right is understanding and pinpointing what your key issues are.
And welcome back to Loyalty Discussions with White Label Loyalty. I am joined today by a very special guest, James McKenzie. He is a customer data expert. James, if you could just introduce yourself to our audience and give us a bit of background.
Thanks, Helen. Hi, I'm James. Hello to everyone who's listening. I have spent the last sort of 20, 25 years of my life working in and around data in retail and other major channels to help organisations really understand their data, understand the value in their data, and really utilise that to get the right thing for the customer. And I've worked in businesses as wide and varied as Asda, Tesco, worked in telecoms, worked in non-food retailers, and been very fortunate to work all the way around the world with data and analytics platforms in North America, Canada, Australia, across Europe, and have hopefully a really good angle and a really good understanding of the challenges that both retailers, FMCG, and other providers of insight have in the sector.
So I wanted to kick this conversation off with quite a surprising stat that I read yesterday. So this is from a study by KPMG, and they found that only 35% of executives have a high level of confidence in their data. What would you say, in your opinion, are the main challenges that business face today in terms of customer data?
That is a really, really good stat. If I'm being honest, I'm surprised it's that high. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way. I think it's a real challenge in an organization for an executive, because the pace that technology and data develops at, this exponential pace, is an absolute bipolar approach to the way that traditionally people have moved through organizations. So if you think about you being that person who comes into an organization, starts learning to do the job, does a really good job, gets promoted, does a bit more of the managerial stuff, does a bit more of that, and you're trying to balance managerial and specialisms all the way up, and it's in a very narrow sort of vertical route. Long gone are the days that the marketing director, who was a marketing assistant 20 years ago, is talking to a marketing assistant who's doing exactly the same job. Mm. Long gone are the days where the FD is talking to somebody 20, 30 years their junior about the job that they used to do, and it's the same job. Technology and the exponential growth of technology has meant that the expertise that you need to deliver the technical day-to-day delivery through technology, through data, is fundamentally different. So that's really difficult for a leader in an organization to grasp, not the minutiae. You don't expect somebody on the board to be able to understand the minutiae, but fundamentally the job has changed. I think when you combine that with, there is such a buzzword around data or tech or AI at the moment, or big data as it was sort of 5-10 years ago, or machine learning. When you're a leader in an organization, sometimes it's very difficult for you to turn around and say, excuse me, I don't quite understand what that means, because they might not want to show that sign of weakness, or they might not want to show that sign of not being quite over the detail of that. And you get this sort of separation. So when I go and talk to boards, I would say, there's a good chunk, 20-25% of people really understand what data is, how it works, how it needs to be structured, how it needs to be approached. About half of them realize that I need to know more about that data. And I know if I want to grow my business and I want to be a really successful organization, even by just looking out into the competitor set, they'll see things being released or press releases or innovative products coming to the market, and they'll go, I need to do something about that. I just don't know how, or I don't know what the how I go about solving that issue. And then the final 25% are usually these people are a little bit in denial, which is, don't worry, it'll go away. There'll be a new fad. Something else will take over, or something else will happen in that sense. And of a very small proportion of those people who are sort of thinking that it doesn't relate to me, doesn't relate to my business, doesn't relate to my function, something else will come along. There's a small proportion of those, which I think are the really interesting ones, who are the businesses say, oh, data's not for us. We're not a data business. You know, we're not engaged in that. It's, you know, we're a traditional industry. You know, we've got bricks and mortar in our, you don't need that sort of stuff. And those are the ones, I think, that are the ones that are important to really try and understand, because what I think they're missing in the wider market is that there are no businesses that aren't data businesses. Irrelevant of whether you make things, irrelevant whether you sell things or products or services or anything like that, irrelevant whether you're a B2B or B2C, every single action of your organization is leaving footprints in the sand and leaving stuff somewhere. And every single business, every single organization, whether it's a profit-driven one, whether it's a non-profit-driven one, whether it's a third sector organization, public sector organization, they are data businesses. And it's really important that you have to embrace that. And once you embrace that thinking, that helps you go on that journey, and helps leaders in the organization, helps board members go on that journey of, right, I might not know the solution to that problem, but I've got to go and reach and find some people who do know the solution to that problem, because it is the thing that's going to hold this organization back in the next 3, 5, 10 years. And that's the role of the board. It isn't to, you know, deliver on what's happening in the day. It's about to set the strategy for the organization so it's, you know, as competitive and optimizes its opportunities over the medium to long term.
So when you go and speak to these companies and start to kind of advise them on strategy, what would you say their main pain points are in terms of data?
So I think, so the way that I like to think about organizations is they sort of fall into two or three different buckets. There's a bucket which is an organization that's got lots of history and has been around for a period of time. And they've been around that period of time, they've been very, very successful. But because they were around pre-internet or pre-data or pre-cloud or pre-AI or pre-da-da-da-da, whatever technical advancement you've got, they've got lots and lots of challenges. They've got lots of data, but it's in different parts of their organization. It's in different formats and structures, and it's owned by different people. And that's a very different problem when you try and bolt on an online world or a cloud world on that, because you've got a lot of old historic data sets, versus the second bucket, which is organizations that might be newer and startup or might not have those legacy issues. So I think a lot about financial services. If you take a high street bank, the high street bank is, you know, you can pick loads, you know, Santander, HSBC, blah, 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 blah. They've got a load of old bricks and mortar stores. All the data that is collected from that. They've got a lot of different products that they've created and built over the year. And they've got, you know, life insurance documents that probably, you know, have policies that are still 60, 70 years old that people took out in their 20s, and which were done on paper. And so trying to digitize that at the same time as all of the people who now use banking on their phone, on an app, or use that on some sort of place. That's a real challenge versus the startup banks like Monzo and Atom, who don't have that legacy. So they're building their data structure correct from ground up, from ground zero on day one, based on the technology, what they need to do at that period of time. Mm-hmm. And fundamentally, it comes back to how does a business make the best informed decisions that it can? And it's about having an understanding of how your customer is behaving, how your customer is interacting with your products and services, and what is their general pattern of transactional behavior, or what is the the general pattern of why they are making those transactions. That's really difficult to put all your hands around. Lots of different formats, lots of different channels, some of which are digital, some of which are analog, versus those businesses. So if you look in that financial services sector, the reason why, you know, Starling and Monzo, Revolut, for example, can do what they're doing and be really disruptive in the market is they've built their data platform from day one to understand that single view of their customer, which allows them not to find the panacea. It doesn't allow them to find the solution. You still got to interpret the data and analyze the data and deliver the insight, but they've got in one place a single view of their customer and how that customer is behaving.
Right. And that's where all businesses really want to get to, right? That single customer view. You mentioned before, we're talking really about the issue here is siloed data, right? And this is what we talk about a lot at White Label Loyalty. So you've obviously got the issue of data being held on different platforms and it's all separate and it doesn't necessarily speak to each other. But then I love that you mentioned the other kind of cause of siloed data is teams holding onto the data and not necessarily communicating, because so many businesses today, right, they have dedicated data teams of data analysts, but if those teams aren't communicating with marketing, aren't communicating with sales, you end up with even more silos because nobody's communicating with each other, nobody knows really what's going on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think there's a couple of things in that. There's a bit around who is driving the change, right? So if you think about just trying to understand how the customer behaves, if that comes from a board owner, and that board owner is the CEO or CFO or maybe the CMO, that's coming down in a very consistent way. If that person is a person who is just in their own function going, oh, bloody hell, this data is a nightmare, I can't make it work, and their KPIs, unlike the board members, are about their behavior and what they need to do in that part of the organization, what you tend to get is a really good job done there. But somebody else in another silo has thought about the same thing and they've solved a similar problem in a completely different way, so that when you then bring that up to bring the data together, it doesn't match. And that's not necessarily that the data is wrong, but it's simple things like, is it pulled at the same time of day? Is it pulled on the same day? Does it have a different overnight processing or ones in real time? I speak to loads of people, but the real common thing about that example is I have a half an hour meeting to talk about sales or talk about performance of a project, and I spend the first 20 minutes of it arguing whether whose data is right, this person or is it that person? Instead of spending that time expertise in the room to try and really understand what is going on and try and make some decisions, the finance guys are saying this is right because of this. The operations guys are saying this is right. And they're all wildly agreeing because it's all right within their silo. That's the piece around it needs that consistency of approach, especially if you've got that old legacy issue. It sort of falls into two bits. There's a bit about purchasing and solution purchasing, but there's a bit about how do you see data. So I see data is much more like HR than any other type of thing, because in an organization there is a HR function, a people function, a personnel function, whatever you call it in your organization, and it is the job of that function to create all the structures and frameworks that people are protected, people can be appraised, people can be rewarded, people can be managed. What you don't get is a HR person doing everybody's review, because the best person to do that is the line manager of the person who is doing that. And it's the same with data. Quite often in businesses, you go, oh, data, that sounds like IT. I'll give it to the IT guys and they'll look after it over there. But they are a long way away from the core. They're not there creating the structure, how it looks like. And there's a lot of debate about whether boards, you know, successful businesses should have a CDO, a chief data officer. But that is a really important role. If data is at the core of everything that you need to do going forward, and every business is a data business, you know, businesses wouldn't have a debate over whether they need a chief people officer, but they have lots of debate over whether they need a chief data officer. Perhaps that's because people just see data as a thing you have to do. It's GDPR, it's all about risk aversion or whatever, rather than using it to deliver that growth. It then goes into the third bit, which is about the mindset of the organization and the culture of the organization. So the impact of data change, or the impact of really getting your head around what data can do for you, can be quite a cultural shock. It can be a cultural shock at a small level, because people see lots of investment in this and then think, oh, the robots are coming to take over my job. What does that mean for me? How do I feel? Am I going to engage with something that means I don't have the job that I feel safe and secure in? And that's a real challenge. You see that coming through AI and the risks there potentially of that. But more importantly, it's around how businesses see data and then how they drive the solutions. So we talk a lot, or I talk a lot to organizations and ask them the question, do you see data as an asset or do you see it as a risk? And those organizations that see data as an asset are significantly more tuned into the growth opportunities. Those that see it as a risk really stand around it and don't want to do that joining data up together, because they feel like that it's out of control. And sometimes in heavily regulated industries, that's a real challenge. You know, clearly financial services that we talked about earlier, how you use that data, you can't, you know, willy-nilly go out and just spread it all around the organization. But still, those organizations like the Atoms, like the Starlings, like the Monzos, see the data as an asset to help them create better products, give better service, be able to create platforms that interact more with what customers are looking for. And then that comes into your solution. So some people mistake tech and data as the same thing. They're completely different things. Data is the nuts and bolts, the foundation, the bricks of how you build your organization. And tech is a way to utilize that data, right? I've talked to lots of organizations who go, don't worry, I'm going to buy something to solve that. I have some issues with all of these legacy systems, or I might have some issues with the quality of the data, or I might have some issues with we're not utilizing data. And I'll go out and I'll buy a massive platform, not without understanding what I need it for. And it might be the fact that if the feeds into that platform aren't accurate, the data isn't as good, or the quality isn't as good, or the, you know, it's got lots of human error in it because there's loads of spreadsheets, you know, driving all of this data coming round, it will be suboptimal. And that causes a bit of a doom loop, because you get lots and lots of organizations that go and spend lots and lots of money on a tech solution, and it doesn't give them what they want, or it doesn't give them what the sales team promised that it was going to give them. And that's because they need to do the thinking about, have I got the right inputs? So AI at the moment, loads of discussion about AI, and it's a really, really powerful tool, but it's fundamentally dependent on what are the inputs and the quality of inputs that you put into that to get the optimal response out of the back end of that. And, you know, if you think about those sort of three buckets, it really helps businesses change the way they think about the sequencing, right? So it's all about the sequencing of how do I, you know, you wouldn't build a house without building foundations, right? You wouldn't build a car without putting the chassis and the wheels there first. And data is exactly the same. And you can have some specialists who look at the various nuts that go on the wheel or the type of chassis that come in at the right time. But you need to understand as an organization, what is the sequence that you need to sort these out in to then get the optimal paint, because it does flow.
So what do you need to take from this? After working across many different industries and company sizes, James sees similar challenges crop up. Most executives don't have confidence in their data. Older companies with legacy systems have trouble digitizing their data, which leads to silos and inaccuracies. They'll need a solution like receipt scanning, which turns printed invoice information and feeds into a single digital platform. Many companies unintentionally create silos by keeping data separated in teams, which means there's no single source of truth. And in some businesses, a mindset shift is required. Does your company see data as an asset? And are you using it as an asset? Remember, there are no businesses that are not data businesses. Every single company needs to embrace a data strategy if they want growth and customer loyalty. If any of these resonate, stay tuned for the next part of our conversation, which is all about how to use customer data to grow your business. Follow us so you don't miss it.